today I want to touch upon another minog, another halacha. I shouldn't say it's a minog, it's a halacha that applies, that has gone into effect from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is a continuation of what we learned yesterday from the Simen Shochanoch, Simen Tov Kuf Samach, Hilchas Tisha B'Av. So yesterday we discussed various minhagim. We discussed primarily the minhag of putting ash on the head of a chassan at the time of a chassan. There was one thing I forgot to mention yesterday. It's found very interesting. He quotes in the sefer I had yesterday, minhag. I forgot the name of the sefer. Rabbi Oberlander. He says that there was once a custom in some communities where at the chassan they would first put tefillin on the chassan. The chassan would put on his tefillin for a few moments, and then take off the tefillin, and immediately they would put ash on the place of the tefillin to fully fulfill what it says, "Lo seis efer tachas pe'er." So we go to weddings, so the chassan, the tefillin are in the chassan hall, the tefillin are at home, and they go to the chassan, so they put some ash. Oh, it's a zecher for the churban beis hamikdash. Lo seis efer tachas. It's the place of the pe'er. But could you imagine how much of an impression it would make? Where I'm wearing tefillin, and now I take off the tefillin and replace it with ash. That's a much more powerful. That's a much more powerful minhag. Can you imagine if you would combine this with what Rav Soloveitchik did? Rav Soloveitchik's custom was, and this is not only him. This is they would do this under the chuppah after they made the birchas erisin. I've never seen that. I don't think anyone has ever seen the chassan under the chuppah wearing tefillin. Did anyone ever go to a wedding and see a chassan wearing tefillin under the chuppah? Never saw such a thing. Why not? Okay, but let's say it's by day. Why not? They wear a talis many times. They've dressed with the chassan kalender chalas. So why don't they wear? Why doesn't he wear the tefillin? Okay, they don't do. But if you would combine this custom with what Rav Soloveitchik was his custom and what it's others is that they bedavka put the ash on the chassan after they made the bracha, because you have to do it at the moment of it's called the chassan, so that would mean the chassan would be wearing tefillin at the time of the chuppah, and then they would take off the tefillin and replace the tefillin with ash in that location to fulfill, to make an impression. Okay, this is obviously not done today. Our photographer has no pictures to prove this was done, so.
Has potential,
okay. Yeah, Mickey, in the studio, you show this will be the model. The tefillin with the ash, it will be a... It won't be good for business. People will come into the studio and they'll see a chassan wearing tefillin. They're going to say, I think we're not going to use the Axelrod Studios for this. Who knows what he's getting us into?
That sefer was Minigav Hussein.
Minigav, is that what it's called? No, that was called it's by Rabbi Oberlander. I don't remember the name of the sefer. Okay, now let's go to the next custom. The next custom Shulchan Aruch records, this is for the whole year round, the Chayin Gazru, there was a Gezer. Gezer is a very strong term for the Mechaber to use. Shaloi Lenagein B'chli Shir. Never, the entire year round, to play musical instruments. Okay, so that would mean you go to anyone's house, there's a piano, it's not good for Shidduchim. There's a violin, a flute, musical instruments are out. It's not a Jewish thing to own a piano, to own any type of musical instrument. That's what it says here. So we're going to talk about it, don't worry. Don't get so worried. What?
I have a piano for sale.
I also heard you're not supposed to buy a piano.
You can't sing.
We're coming to that. But musical instruments certainly is forbidden. V'chein gaz, all of this is zecher l'churban. V'chein gaz shaloi l'nagin b'chalei shir. It's shulchan aruch. V'chol minei zemer. Any type of musical instrument. V'chol mashmiyei kol shel shir. L'sameach bohem. Any type of coil, even to sing, forget about any choir, even if it's not accompanied by music, it is forbidden. Why? Zecher l'churban. Once the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, our joy has been taken away. We have no right to celebrate. We have no right to celebrate, to enjoy ourselves, to feel good with the musical instruments, or even singing together. This is what it says in the Mechaber. The Mechaber is coming from the Rambam. Now, along comes the Hagod, the Ramah, to the rescue. Because obviously we are extremely lenient in these matters. It goes without saying. The Ramah comes to the rescue. V'yesham, some say, this is really Taisvis. He's quoting a Taisvis. The Dafka Misha Ragil Bohem. The only one that is forbidden is a person that is accustomed to doing this. Meaning it's done continuously. In other words, Ragil Bohem, going to a concert once a month with Endi Mutter. That's what it seems to say. The place can say once a month. It's not called Ragil. Misha Ragil Bohem, Kagoyin Hamalachim Kings. Sha'imdim Vesha'ichim Bechlei Shir. That's royalty. Even the President of the United States doesn't do this. And when you go to sleep, a choir puts you to sleep every single night. Every single night a choir puts you to sleep, and every single morning you're woken up, your alarm clock is a live orchestra. Comes into your bedroom, and they play music to wake. This was Malchus. Can you imagine? This is the way things were done in ancient times. I know in the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, my cousin, Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik, he's rabbi, when he gives a drasha on Shabbos, when he gives the drasha, can you imagine, picture your rabbi, before he gives a drasha, there's a choir. Mm-hmm. They have a choir, and they sing all different songs. They sing before he ascends, or as he ascends every single Shabbos to the podium to deliver his sermon, the choir, a professional choir, This is like real professionals. They sing as he ascends the podium to give his sermon. That is the rule. That's the way it's done in the synagogue. So by Malach and by Kings, this event took place every morning. When you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night, that is called what it means, Ragil Bohem, the Shir. Or to go to a banquet, go to a party, and at the party there's live music. There's live music in musical instruments, or they're singing, that's forbidden. Period. Now, then we go back to the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, V'asa l'shayma b'bnei ha'churban, the reason is because of a zecher l'churban, this is forbidden. Then he goes further. The Mechaber says even to sing. The Mechaber at least is a little bit lenient in this instance, that if you want to sing without musical instruments, just to sing b'peh, it is only forbidden to sing a choir if you're also serving wine. A mishte yayin. If you go to a bar, I guess in a bar, right, they serve wine. They serve alcoholic beverages, and there's a choir, it is forbidden. Shenemar b'shir lo yishtu yayin, with song we do not sing wine. Ukvar nohagu kol yisrael loymar divrei tishpachos. He concludes that the custom is to sing, that we do sing only divrei tishpachos, words of praise, yishir shel hoidos, words of hoidot, v'zichron chasdei Hashem, remembrance of Hashem's kindness, al hayayin, even when it's accompanied by one. I will explain what he's coming to allude to in a few moments. It's a little bit vague what the Mechaber really means to say hagah. And then the Ramah comes in for a second time to elaborate. He says, V'chein l'tzorch mitzvah. The big exception is that if you want to have music, or you want to have any type of music, if l'tzorch mitzvah, and he gives one example, K'goin, bebeis, chosan, v'kala, hakoil, shari, everything is mutter. Okay, so the Mechaber and Ramah, they are throwing around ideas. It's not really clear what they're saying, where they're getting it from. So let me just give you a little bit of background. In Chazal, we find this concept four times, at least four places. The primary source is a Mishnah in Masechta Sota. Mishnah Masechta Sota says the words Mishabatla Sanhedrin. Now, this thing, again, I'm not telling you anything concrete. I just want to throw out issues, some ideas, some concepts, some svaros. It's a very big challenge. It's a very, very big sugi. In this sefer, Moadim L'Simcha, by Rabbi Freund, he has a massive chapter. I know that Rav Aaron Kahn, they're over here in Knesset Sazigda. So he, many years ago, he wrote an article in the contemporary, the RJJ journal. The RJJ journal is the contemporary halachic journal. Like when they first began to publish that journal, I have almost all the journals at home. So when they first began to publish RJJ, the RJJ journal, it's amazing. It's still one of the best journals. After all this, what?
67.
See, it comes out twice a year, and they publish really great contemporary issues, halachic issues. So many years ago, when it first started, so one of the first articles, one of the very early editions, was from Rav Aaron Kahn about basically the sugya. Come on, everything. There's a lot of overlap. The sugya of music in halacha bizman hazeh. How do we deal with music? It's a siman in Shulchan Aruch. It's one siman. Siman Tav Kuf Samach Halacha Gimel. It's pretty clear. If you just take what it says in the Mechaber and the Rambam, pretty literally, it basically, you would shut down every single concert.
Right.
Okay, Lipa would be out of business. Right. Mordechai and David, you never even hear the name Mordechai and David. Avram Fried, you never even hear these names because they wouldn't even have a Pesach to do anything. And the choirs, yeshiva choirs, forget about it. It wouldn't exist, boy, even without any music. And even to a certain degree, on our davening on Shabbos and Yom Tov will be very different. The Apostle that goes so far to say, and he goes to all the sources, is that there will be no Shlomo Kalbach, exactly. But even davening, today the custom is more and more, every single shul, if you don't, you sing Kedusha, you sing Hallel, you sing Yomim Noraim. Today, you know, there's a... There's music. That would also be a shiloh, ringtones. An Orthodox Jew, if you would take all of these halachas, if you would take all of the halachas, not a joke, to its logical conclusion, an Orthodox Jew would not be allowed to have a ringtone. That would be basically. And I go into the Verizon Avenue M. So my plan expired. The cell doesn't work. So I'm talking to the person there. So he says to me, I said, what are my options? What are my options? So he says, well, the best thing would be to get an iPhone. Trying to sell me an iPhone. And then he says, and I said, well, I said, why? Then I started just talking, why the iPhone? And what about the Galaxy? He's showing me all different phones. It's either going to be the iPhone or the Galaxy. He says, well, in this community, he says to me, in this community, you have to have a filter. That's what he says to me. And the filter on the iPhone, no, this is not me talking. This is the guy behind the counter. And in this community, you have to have a filter. And the filter on the iPhone is foolproof. But the filter on the Galaxy, there are workarounds. So I would not recommend, being that you're a member of this community, I would not recommend the Galaxy, because your kids are going to get a hold of it and they're going to be able to find a workaround for the Galaxy, and you have to get an iPhone where the filter is foolproof. So if you take to his logical conclusion, when it says Shulchan Aruch, you would go into a store, they would say, well, in this community, you're an Orthodox Jew, you're not allowed to have a ringtone on your cell phone. That's really what would have come down to. So obviously, we don't take everything.
No internet access.
What?
No internet access. Why do you need an iPhone?
Well, no internet access. Why? No, you have internet access. Just the filters. That's already too extreme. All right, I'm just giving you a muscle. But I'm just saying is that if you take the halach, it's one halach in Shulchan Aruch. We're all Baruch Hashem, Shem Torah mitzvahs. We've got to follow everything it says in Shulchan Aruch. And when it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's pretty scary, is because it's not really what we do. It's not really, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about this in the Ramah, it's not really what we follow halachas. Let's discuss some of the issues and some of the leniencies, where are things coming in, some of the issues. So first of all, let me tell you, it's a Gemara. The Gemara, the Mechaber made it very clear. He added in some words which seemingly were not necessary, being that we're part of learning Hilchas Tisha B'Av, right? That's a Hilchas Tisha B'Av. We're discussing the Churban. Mishachorav the begins. Mishachorav Beis Hamikdash. Tiknu Chachamim. Shehoyu Ba'isa Hadar. They were dealing with what happened. And then in Nochamot, he says here in the middle of this halacha, he says over here, and I'm in the middle of nowhere, you have to read the Mechaber word for word, we can't go through every single detail, but he says, V'osor L'shoimam Mipnei HaChorban. What? Of course the Churban. What else are we talking about? So he's coming to allude to something very controversial, because the Gluken and Mishnah, Masechta Soita, this Takana had nothing to do with the Churban. It had to do with the Bittul of the Sanhedrin. It's an amazing idea. There's an amazing insight into music, which could be a Pesach, why we are so lenient Bizman Hazeh. Because this Takana was when the Sanhedrin, 40 years, even more, 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin went into Golus. And there were different kufis. There's a different Mamar Chazal, different kufis of the Golus. They would gol it 10 times. They became bottle entirely. And then there was a tkufa before they went into Golus, when there was a Bichlal, a Bittul of the Sanhedrin. There's another tkufa. I don't have all the entire history in front of me and the different opinions exactly what we're referring to. But I read you what it says in the Mishnah Masechta the Saita, Mishabatla Sanhedrin, Bittul Hashir Bebeis Hamishtaos. They made a takana. Who's making the takana? There's no Sanhedrin anymore. Who's in charge? Who's in charge now? That's a very big question. What's going on? Sanhedrin is in charge, but there is no Sanhedrin. So who's calling the shots? The Rabbanim, the lay leaders? It says, Beitel Hashu is their last takana they made when they saw they're going out of business sale. Sanhedrin is going out of business. This is our last will and testament for Klal Yisrael. No more singing songs. Bebeis Hamishta Oshenemar Beshulo Yishayin. Okay, then the Gemara talks about klalus. This is scary stuff, because when it's one thing you have a halacha, it's another thing when you have a klala. Omar Rav Udna Deshama Zimra, an ear that listens to music, te'oker. May that ear be uprooted. It's a klala. Okay, that's serious stuff. Now, we're not just dealing with halacha, we're dealing with klalas. Okay, Omar Rava, another halacha, Zimra Bebesa, this song in the house, they're playing music in the house, Churva Besifa, the threshold, the bias should be, basically the bias should be destroyed. Hey, it's a curse. The Ayin Sham, the Gemara. Then the Gemara gives exceptions. Workers who are going out of their mind, they need some music in order to, or weavers, people that do repetitive, what's it called? You type a whole day?
Monotonous.
Carpal syndrome. Repetitive. Anyone that's involved of the mind, when you do repetitive things a million times, you need to light up. So the Gemara talks about different traits. Weavers, it's a very boring job. You keep on doing the same thing a million times. Or people that plow the animals, so they made an exemption that they're allowed to. Here's another very important point, which is in Heter for us. Every little excuse we're going to be able to find, we're going to use to our advantage to be matter music with Zman Hazeh. They made a lot of exceptions. The Haina read over here, Moshe Sefinas, exactly. Car service drivers, taxi drivers, Moshe Sefinas, people that pull boats with ropes in the sea, they made an exception because they would lose their minds. The Aina Ella Lazarzam, the Malachlam, they even played music in order to encourage them. The Bakre, okay, people that plow, different trades. Aina El Chavanes, Ashmarim, Lit lo mayhem of the pharaoh shalchem kolashir. The Gemara gives different examples, and therefore, okay, they give the different exceptions. People that need music in order to assist them or to keep their mind to concentrate, focus when they do work, it is permitted. You know, many seifrim today listen to music when they write. Being a seifer, it's not all that much fun. You fall asleep, so they need to keep their minds occupied. Someone told me that's the afternoon sefer, the good sefer. They start out, they listen to Chiddushei Torah, they listen to Dialogue Daf tapes, and then what? It becomes second nature. They have the pattern, and then after time, you know, it gets hard to listen to, so they listen to music, Yiddish music. And then after, you know, we'll listen to classical music. Beethoven. And then when you know, you start listening to, when it's not classical music, already got a problem. And then when you start listening to the news, when you start writing, if you're listening to Rush Limbaugh while you're writing a Sefer Torah, you got a problem here. Okay, then you got a real problem. I think it's time for a new profession. But it's not so simple. You have to know, you know, it's kedai to know your Sefer. It's kedai to know your Sefer, what exactly he's doing. There is something, there is Kedusha that goes into the writing of the Sefer Torah. It's kedai to know where the Sefer is holding when he's writing the Sefer. The best Sefer are the Sefer that don't write full time. Those are the best Sefer. And the best Sefer are the Sefer that write as part of a Chabura, they're part of a group. Seifrim who work, if you're looking to have a pair of Torah written for one of your grandchildren, find out about the Seifer. If there's a waiting list, why is there a waiting list? Sometimes a waiting list is because he only writes a half a day. He's in Kollel, he's a Rav, he has another job, he only writes half a day. So that's a very good thing, because that means it's not a full-time thing. His mind is Isaac in Dharm and other matters, which is a Kedusha. And if he's not writing alone in his basement, he's writing part of a Chabura, that's a tremendous smiler. Because Ish Israel Yom Chazak, each one is mechazik the other. Okay, but that's going over the topic. Now we go to the second Maim Chazal. The second Maim Chazal is a Masech de Gittin. In Marukva, everyone says Marukva. You look at all of these, all the write-ups of the sugya. They'll always quote you Marukva. In Vesech the Zimra, he's Bar Zutra Zimra Minolei. How do you know that it's forbidden to sing to musical instruments? Bizman Azeh. Sirtate the Kasav Lahu, he quoted a pasuk in Hashem, Al Tismach Yishol El Gilbanim. Do not rejoice. He quoted a pasuk, do not rejoice like the nations. That the Jewish people should not rejoice with a celebration, Bo'amim, like the nations, or when they find themselves among the nations, when they find themselves in Galus, or don't behave like the nations. Divin Perushim. The worst question is another pasuk. What about the pasuk from Sechta? Why did Mar Ukva quote a pasuk in Hosea? Why didn't he quote a pasuk? The pasuk from Soita, from Yeshaya. Meshila Yishtayayin. So he said, no, that pasuk only teaches you b'shir lo yishtayayin imei havamin hanim lezirma demone. That pasuk only talks about musical instruments. But how do you know that you're not allowed to sing vocally, even without music? How do you know? That's why we need another pasuk. Okay, so without going into too much detail, when we combine what it says in Sanhedrin, with what it says, I'm sorry, what it says in Gittin, with what it says in Saita, we have two psukim. And the Gemara explains one pasuk is teaching us a prohibition to play musical instruments, just music, and another pasuk is telling us there is a prohibition to sing songs, even without music. Okay, then a third source is Yerushalmi Masechta Saita, and the Yerushalmi says a very important piece of information that we mentioned in Masechta Soita Mishabatla Sanhedrin. Now, I mentioned before, the Mechaber says the reason why we don't play musical instruments is because of the Churban. Problem is, it says in the Gemara, it's nothing to do with the Churban. It has to do with the Bittul of Sanhedrin. So some want to suggest that that's all part of the process. When Sanhedrin became Batul, that was the beginning of the Churban based on Migdash. Before the Migdash was destroyed, the first part of the step was Sanhedrin became inactive. So the Yerushalmi says no. He explains more, because when the Sanhedrin was established, they were able to watch what people were singing. But when the Sanhedrin was bottled, no one was watching. There was no monitor, and people began to sing divrei nevola. The songs became vulgar, which is mashma, that if there is an authority, this Sanhedrin, there's a central authority that is making sure that the songs are not vulgar, the songs are Yiddish songs, they have tam v'reach of something Yiddish, then it would be okay. That's what it says, Beferish Yerushalmi. Okay, then there's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin There are other sources, a whole list of sources. Okay, along comes of Haigoin. Okay, after this Gemara, along came of Haigoin, and he comes along with an incredible leniency, which pretty much is the leniency that we all samach on bizman hazeh. And of Haigoin says this, that it says in the Gemara, it says in all the different sources, the Yinala Mishpat Sanhedrin, when it says in the Gemara in Gittin about singing, it is only when you are singing to one another the praises of man. You're singing love songs. Go to an engagement party and the chassan is singing a love song to the kala, or the kala is singing a love song to the chassan, or you go to a victory celebration, come back from war, the war is over, and the people they compose beautiful songs to sing the praise of the soldiers, their powerful strength. Or a politician, a person's inaugurated into office, and someone composes a beautiful song to sing the praises of the politician. The singing. That is what Chazal had in mind when Chazal said Mishabatla, that was once upon a time permitted, but Mishabatla Sanhedrin, or the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that became forbidden. But if you sing songs to praise Hashem, that's 100% permitted. So therefore, basically, this is a very great leniency that anything that we do bizman hazeh, if as long as the purpose of the song is to use as a tool to sing Hashem's praises, would be mutter. Now that has limitations. So you have what?
Classical music.
So classical music, no, that would be forbidden. Mechanami, classical music not. What about even something similar like sing a happy birthday? Okay, you go to a birthday party. Okay, something so simple like that. An adult birthday party. Okay, children, anyway, a million hetero. That's not, children, you don't have to even go in. That can be matter. But in adults, everyone pray, happy birthday. Yeah. So some will argue that's not called a song. Sing happy birthday is just, it sounds moronic. Almost. Okay, it's not called a song, it's a joke, it's not. But let's say someone will have something, a serious type of elaborate happy birthday, and they sing songs. Listen, I don't know, I was shocked. Someone told me he went to an anniversary party. Very wealthy person. Anniversary party. I was shocked. Very, you know, real Erlich guy, you know, someone from this community. And the family hired a professional to sing basically love songs. Okay, love songs describing the couple. L'chori, that's mamish aser. That's us to sing. To sing songs, love songs, where you are praising someone else, that is definitely a problem. Rav Haigon says the heter, the iser that's mentioned is where it is private songs to praise human beings or to praise events, which a lot of non-Jewish celebrations that we are familiar with do have these problems. Okay, let's say you're in a chanami, where it's not necessary. One thing, the Mishum Eva, you have to be very careful. Let's say there is a. You're right. These are very big issues. These are not simple matters. Those that are machmir to the extreme go so far to say that you're not allowed even in shul, in the Beis HaKnesses, to sing Kedusha and Kaddish and things like this. That's also part of the prohibition. No one is, the Halacha L'maaseh is so machmir. No one goes to that extreme. But that there are issues. Now, the one that appears to be the most machmir, okay, be surprised, is the Rambam. The Rambam, in fact, this opens up another very big issue, which they all discuss in very great detail, is the Rambam contradicts himself. The Rambam, you know, the Rambam wrote Yad HaChazaka, and then there are tshuvas from the tshuvas. The Rambam wrote letters. People asked him questions, he wrote letters. The Rambam, Yad HaChazaka, says it is categorically forbidden. Oh no, he's matir. He says that it's music is categorically forbidden, but Shira, to sing, is only forbidden to sing if it's accompanied by wine. And a sudas mishta, where there is wine being served, then a choir or vocal music is forbidden. But if there is no yayin, the Rambam is matir. Problem is, the Rambam in the Tshuvos says it is categorically forbidden music and vocal song is forbidden no matter what. So this opens up a big dilemma, a general question. Whenever the Rambam, not that many examples, but whenever the Rambam there's a contradiction between the Rambam when he writes in the Yad HaChazaka and he writes in the Tshuvos, which one is the Iker? And on this side you have a major debate, some hold the Tshuvos of the Iker, because the Tshuvos he was passing Mamash Halacha L'maisa, he was giving a response to a stupid question, and some hold that the Iker is what he wrote in the Yad HaChazaka. Okay, that's one. What's the one issue? Another issue is that there's a long, long list of Mepharshim who try desperately to show that there's really no contradiction between the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka and the Rambam in the Tshuvos. However, the bottom line is the Rambam is pretty much machmir, and according to the Rambam, basically everything that we do today, 90% of what we do today would be usher. He would shut down all concerts. He would shut down all cassettes, CDs, flash drives, all of these musical, according to the Rambam, l'chor, would be usher. Again, the Rabbi of Haigoin, the Goinim, are to the extreme the most lenient. And they are of the opinion these types of songs only usher when it's done purely to give kavod and honor to human beings. When they're being used to give shevach v'ayda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's mutter. And that basically every concert, every CD, every Jewish CD that is produced is all to use as a tool of his eirus to serve Hashem better. Shiros v'shpachos to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That's the shita of the Rahaigon. In the middle, somewhere in the middle, is the shita of Rabbeinu Tam, the Balei Tosis. And the Balei Tosis is the only one that gets credit, is called Brahma. It's Asur. Only Asur done on a continuous basis. But if it's done liprakim, occasionally, that is mutter. When it says in the Gemara that it was us, it means it was us like derech hamalachim. But if you only do it occasionally, it's mutter. What is called occasionally? So here's a very big divide. Some say, whenever you want, just shouldn't get out of hand. Every person is different. Some places can say once a month. Some say only on days when you, this is, I think, it's not only, I can't remember all the names, only on days when you don't say tachman. Would you believe this is a shita? On the day when you don't say tachman, it's a shtikl yamdif. That's not called chassidim 24/7. That's not called 24/7. Now, another leniency is, there's a difference between live music and recorded music. Some hold that a record, it's also a klei shir. It's also a musical instrument. So what's the difference? It shouldn't be a difference. In fact, today it's even more sophisticated. It's even better to some degree. On the other hand, it didn't exist. It didn't exist at the time. But it's definitely taken into consideration to be makel. Other places can say something very shocking. I don't remember who says this. I think even the stipples. Stipel was one of the biggest mekilim in this. The Stipel was very make when it came to record music. And some want to bring a riot from the Chassam Sofer. And this shocking thing is that we live in a generation today. Chassam Sofer talks about this. Doesn't talk about music. Talks about other things. But we live in a generation today where people basically have a need for entertainment. And if you don't provide them with kosher entertainment, they will naturally go and have non-kosher entertainment. And this is so true today, where this is what all the mechanchim tell us that they're struggling with, is that if there has to be kosher entertainment, because the non-kosher entertainment is unbelievable. It's just overwhelming. And you have to match it. So if you're not going to, people have a need today to have an outlet, to have some music, something inspirational, and what's out there by the non-Jewish world is very dangerous, and therefore there's nothing wrong having this type of music.
What about live and recorded with Kol Isha?
So the machlokes apoyskim. Many apoyskim say anything that's recorded, of Moshe is very lean, anything that's recorded is not kol isha. If it's not real, it's not real, it's mutter. However, some amachmir. What about during the 3 weeks? Okay, so I've seen all different answers. 3 weeks. There are a lot of people complain in camps for little children. They have to have music. They demand they have to have music during the 3 weeks for children. So many places can say in, at least until the 9 days, no problem. Children up to a certain age, 6, 7, 8, you can play for them lichatchila during the 3 weeks until the 9 days, until the Rosh Chodesh, music is acceptable. Once you come to the 9 days, if possible, you should be machmir. If you can't, you can't. You can have music for children as well, even during the 9 days. What about a cappella? So some also amount until the 9 days, it's mutter. After the 9 days, you should be machmir. What are they doing with JVM? What are they doing?
Does a cappella for the 3 weeks?
The whole 3 weeks?
No. The 9 days, he does.
Nine days, barrel wine.
During the 9 days, okay. Okay. He does a cappella during the 3 weeks. He always did this?
No,
probably it's a more...
They didn't invent a cappella yet, you know, so much...
It's probably more recent.
Because
the oilam has gone to the right. No, it's pressure. It's social pressure. What?
Jaywood only a cappella.
What?
Okay,
another major issue that he discusses is psukim. Are you allowed? Okay, also what about a sudas mitzvah? Even if you want to be machmir, everyone agrees with that exception. A chasen kala 100% is mutter. What about a bar mitzvah? Is room to be machmir by a bar mitzvah, by a pidyon haben, by a shel brachas, by melava malka? Okay, he brings down that in Prague. You know, this is a shock in Prague. This was the custom every Friday night in the big shul in Prague. They did Kabbalah Shabbos twice. They did Kabbalah Shabbos twice, and no one left. The first time they sang Mizmam was with musical instruments, And then the second time they put the music away, and that was Makabel Shabbos. So you see in Prague, they actually, davening was accompanied by music. Some were very upset because it was who invented music by davening? Who was the real inventor of music by davening? The Reform. The Reform, the Goyim, that's done in the church, the organ was done in the church. The first time music came, or even singing, came into the shul was by the Reform. So many were very misnagged not to follow in the custom of the Reform, which was really taking it from the Chukas Ha'amim. Okay, another major issue is, are you allowed to make songs out of psukim? There's a very severe prohibition of, it says in the Gemara, that anyone that is shir hashirim, okay, the serious stuff that the question was the ban was made specifically for Shir Hashirim, Tanur Rabbanon, Hakorei Pasuk, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Hakorei Pasuk, Shel Shir Hashirim, the Oisa Kimin Zemer, the Hakorei Pasuk, Beis HaMishnos Below Zemanai, Mevi Roho Lo Oilam, Bebnei Shatari Chagere Saktar, when he hears that they're taking the Pasuk of the Torah and they're making out of it music, they're making out of it songs, the Torah puts on sackcloth and cries before Kadosh Baruch Hu and complains that look what they've done to me. So the question is, what do we do with Bizman Hazet? Today all of the songs are taken from Psukim, Amari Chazal. So someone has said this issue is only when it comes to Shir Hashirim only. Because Shir Hashirim is the nature of Shir Hashirim, is a song between the Chas and the Kala. So that, but when it comes to other parts of Psukim, okay, the other parts, the other things are not so bare that can be done. And now, however, this is a very serious chazal. Okay, obviously, the Olam is Makel, and one of the it's a very strong raya to be Makel. This is an incredible raya. The raya comes from Mishnah Sech the Yoma. The Mishnah says that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would fall asleep, and the Kohen would keep him up the whole night. They would not allow the Kohen Gadol to fall asleep the night of Yom Kippur, because he may come with a carry. So they would snap their fingers. And then the Mishnah goes down, what would they do with him the whole night? So they would learn with him all different things. And then the Gemara says, they would sing to him songs. Let me read what it says. Here the Gemara says, Bikesh lechem etzbat sirada ve'emel ishi kain gadol amoid, stand up. Ve'afeg achas alavet, put your feet on the cold ground. U'masaskim also ad shegi zman shlita. Tana. The Braisa says, "Lo hayu ma'askinoi so loy b'nevel v'lo b'chinor ella b'peh." They would sing to the Kohen Gadol. Perish Rashi, "Hayu m'shoyim l'fonav moho oy." They would say psukim in Yeshaya. Im Hashem lo yivne bayis shav amolu boinav bo. They would sing psukim. So what do you learn from this? You see, it's a Perisha Gemara, a Perisha Braisa. They would sing psukim to the Kohen Gadol. What's the heter? Obviously, it's only also to sing when you sing it for your own personal hana. But when you sing the psukim to bring Yerushalayim, then you see from the Mishnah that there is no prohibition. This is one of the strongest curses we have to be mate b'sman hazeh, to take psukim, to take Amari Chazal, and to make them into songs, because we're not singing them for our personal hana, we're singing them like they did to the Kohen Gadol, to keep them awake in order to be prevented from being nishal and doing averos. Okay, but yet the Gedolim always say, we've yet to see a person who listens hasmad rabba to a recording of a hip, the latest CD in Eichler's, and then right away go learn a Sefer Musar. Right away be inspired to learn a Daf Gemara. It has yet to be proven that listening to Jewish music has really caused us to be inspired. But you can't say not. To each his own. One last thing about it. We all know that in the Gemara, many times we have Chisurei Mechsura. There are missing words. Everyone probably knows this. There are missing words in the Gemara. Why did Chazal write a sugya where there are Chisurei Mechsura? So the answer is that we don't know. We've lost this art. But it's a fact that the Mishnayis, there was a special nigun. There was a special nigun that was used to sing Mishnayis. And this nigun was a very rich, complex nigun. And to the point where some learn is that they deliberately left out words or changed words or constructed the Mishnayis in order that it should fit to the melody of the Mishnayos. So when it says Chesuri Mechsera, the reason why it was deliberately done that was because it was critical during those times to memorize the Mishnayos. There was no written word. And the way you memorize is through song. And when you learn Torah, it has to be learned. V'yatem kitzutchem es hashir azos. So that's how far it went. Okay, so these are just some of the issues. It's a Siman Shulchan Aruch. It's a very difficult Siman. The Ramachaber is really quoting the Rambam. He's being very machmir. The Ramah is quoting the Balei Tosfos. However, there's also Rav Haigoin that's even more makel, and there are some other Rishonim that are in between. Halach Lamais, so all the Poskim are very makel b'zman hazeh for a variety of reasons, especially what it does not say from Rav Haigoin, that it's being done in order l'shem shemayim for chizuk, and that is the primary form of heter b'zman hazeh.
Rabbi